Hello, my name is Terry Cheek. You are listening to Crisis and Concern for November 15, 2014. This broadcast is commentary on current events as seen through a biblical worldview. One of the biggest news stories to come out of North Carolina this week has come from Winston-Salem. In case you don't know, our ministry originates from the Blue Ridge Mountains of western North Carolina. The story I am talking about concerns a same-sex couple, Kenneth Barner and Scott Chapel, charging the Reverend Kelly Carpenter, pastor of Green Street Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, with failure to perform the work of ministry and gender discrimination, which in my personal opinion is the more dangerous of the two charges. The first charge appears to be one that will be dealt with within the denomination. However, the second charge appears to have been made to serve as a civil threat in case the denomination does not rule in favor of the same-sex couple. Attention of pastors across North Carolina should be glued to this event. Pastor Carpenter is sympathetic to the cause of the same-sex couple. He says, and I quote, "If there was a way for me to be a co-signer with the complaint, I think it's right on the money." According to information I have, the congregation of Green Street Church appears to also be supportive of same-sex marriage. What I hear is the church had made its stand on same-sex weddings clear in March of 2013 when the leadership council of the church decided to not hold any weddings at all in the church sanctuary until the denomination lifted its ban on same-sex marriage. Basically, they said if we can't marry same-sex couples, we will not marry anyone. These statements, along with the filings of Barner and Chapel, open a door that may lead pastors and churches in North Carolina to being forced to perform same-sex marriage or face criminal or civil charges. This is a case that will have nationwide effect on pastors and churches. Residents in North Carolina have known since 2012 the finances and the focus of the LGBT movement across the South have centered on North Carolina, believing that we are the most vulnerable southern state for shifting into a pro-same-sex marriage attitude. This statement by Mr. Chapel supports my previous thoughts. He states, "It is the same reason why we didn't leave the state when other states had marriage equality. It felt like having to go elsewhere or having an altered ceremony in order to comply with United Methodist rules seemed diminished in some way. We declined to do that and chose to this instead so we can start this conversation. My interpretation, they saw this as a way to begin the challenge and litigation of forcing a Bible Belt state into accepting and participating in a practice that God calls sinful." Pastor Carpenter also had this to say in support of his same-sex members. "This may get me in some trouble, but it may be the kind of trouble I've been looking for. When those who have accepted the responsibility to lead God's people choose to turn from God's doctrine and support doctrine that is nothing short of heresy, the enemy has been given a very powerful soapbox to work from. I and a shrinking number of pastors in North Carolina are dedicated to standing on the principles of God's unchanging word. We are not hateful, we are not bigots, and we are not intolerant, but we are dedicated to the Lord and Savior who has called us into his work as preachers and pastors." Moving on to a subject that provides definitive evidence against abortion, if any more definitive evidence is needed, I want to make mention of 5-month-old Leo David Hargreaves. You see, while still in his mother's womb, Leo was seen via a 4D sonogram smiling from ear to ear. Well, exactly what does this say about abortion? Smiling is the response of an emotion. Emotion is cognitive, and therefore it is safe to reason babies in the womb have cognitive capabilities. Furthermore, it has been confirmed that when threatened by the invasion of abortion instruments, the baby will try to flee from the invader. This alone is proof of the fear emotion. Now, we plainly see the emotion of a very happy child safely carried in the womb of his mother, along with the fear emotion. So the question stands, how much evidence does the seared conscience of the Supreme Court need to overturn Roe v. Wade? That question, unfortunately, I cannot answer. I can say this. God continues to provide us with evidence. He is present in the womb through the unborn babies that are carried there. There is no place in our society for the sacrifice of unborn children upon the altars of recreational choice. I am sure most, if not all of you, have heard about the Muslim prayer that was permitted inside the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. on Friday. I find it interesting why Muslims would want to violate their own faith by worshiping in a Christian church. Unless, of course, their purpose was not worship, but an opportunity to create controversy. And that is exactly what I feel happened. You see, a heckler began shouting, "Jesus Christ died on that cross over there," a woman said loudly, immediately after beginning announcements were made. "Furthermore, he is the reason why we are to worship only him. Jesus is our Lord and Savior." And again, she was heard to say, "We have built and allowed you here in mosques across this country. Why can't you worship in your mosque and leave our churches alone?" Now, upon reading this, I had several questions rolling around in my head, and I wanted to research these questions for some answers. So I followed the link provided to get more information. And guess what? NBC, the media source that posted the story, had taken down the link. So what happened to the heckler? Was there criminal charges? Was there an assault? Why were Muslims gathering in a Christian church? How did a non-Muslim, this woman heckler, get into their prayer meeting? The only information that was left intact was the assumption that a Christian tried to disrupt a Muslim event. So what do these three stories all have in common? All three of them are very sensitive subjects to sincere evangelical Christians. All three of them are shrouded in controversy that tempts, and I believe tempts intentionally, the Christian to intervene with aggression, thus painting the media image of Christianity being violent, aggressive, hating, bigoted, and etc. As frustrating as immorality and abortion in violation of our sanctuaries are, it is necessary that Christians observe grace and mercy in our daily lives. If physically attacked, yes, Christians have the right to defend themselves. But please do not let rhetoric lure you into a confrontation that will result in you and possibly the Lord being charged. Christians around the world are suffering persecution. For instance, in the Middle East and India, they are being physically beaten and even murdered. Here in America, there is verbal persecution and even legal persecution. I fear the day is coming when physical persecution will be a daily occurrence in the life of born-again Christians. Born-again Christians worldwide. I'm afraid we'll be experiencing persecution daily. Especially any who will not renounce their faith. Some may say not in America. And I hope you are right. And I hope I am wrong. But if I understand my Bible, it is coming. And I personally believe the groundwork is being laid before our very eyes. Well, I have a rather long Bible passage I want to leave you with this week. And I pray that it will encourage you, strengthen you, and help you grow in your walk with the Lord. From Paul's epistle to the Romans, beginning with verse 15, we read, "So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile, and their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and charged the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their heart to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passion, for even their women changed the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one for another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them." Well, before we say goodbye, let me encourage you to visit sermonaudio.com/PastorTerry and the many excellent broadcasters on the Sermon Audio website. This is Terry Cheek. You have been listening to Crisis and Concern for November 15, 2014.